I believe we read the 7th chapter last time in the book of Revelation, was it, Frank? Okay, we'll read the 8th chapter in the book of Revelation. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with us. Brother Taylor's going to come and read this chapter, and we're just going to discuss just a few things with you. We're going through the book of Revelation, as you remember, on these nights to acquaint your mind with the book of Revelation. Some people have never read the book of Revelation through. I've read it through many times, sometimes 3 and 4 times in one day I've gone through the book of Revelation. But some people have never even read it through in a whole lifetime. So Brother Taylor's going to read it so you can understand. Come on over, Brother Taylor. And bless everybody. Listen real good. And take your Bibles and read along with it. Praise the Lord.
Reading from chapter 8 of the book of Revelation. And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the 7 angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the 3rd part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the 2nd angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the 3rd part of the sea became blood, and the 3rd part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the 3rd part of the ships were destroyed. And the 3rd angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the 3rd part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the 3rd part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the 4th angel sounded, and the 3rd part of the sun was smitten, and the 3rd part of the moon, and the 3rd part of the stars. So as the 3rd part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a 3rd part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the 3 angels which are yet to sound.
You can be seated if you like.
No, I've got enough chin.
The book of Revelation is probably the most complicated book of the entire Bible. And it can only be understood as we get into a spiritual mind. How many of you remember our discussion on the 4 winds? I think that was our last discussion before we left a week or two ago. Is that right? Now, how many of you have retained something from the discussion of the 4 winds? Did you get anything? Have you kept it? Here, in this 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, here is the opening of the 7th seal. Now, I don't know whether you are forming a continuity or not of these things like I ask you to, but I ask you to be sure to keep a continuity. And I went back all the way to the first of the book of Revelation and explained it a little bit at a time and tied it together to where you could have a continuity of what was taking place. Now, remember the seals in the sixth chapter. The seals in the sixth chapter. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. One of the seals, the seven seals now. Remember, John is in heaven. How many of you understand what we said the other night about the Lord giving Peter the keys to the kingdom, and Peter unlocked the kingdom? Never before in the history of the world had the kingdom of God been unlocked to humanity. Never before. But at this particular time, he gave a key. And Peter unlocked the door to the kingdom of God. To the kingdom of God. You know, when you talk to people about the kingdom of God, it's just a figment of imagination or something that goes through their mind. It's just some kind of thought. But when you say the kingdom of God, that's really something. The kingdom of God. You say, Brother Pike, the kingdom of God, I know that's a great thing, but where is it at? It's on earth. It's on earth. The Bible said, preach, that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's present. Not only is it present, but there is people that are being translated into the kingdom of God. There's people that's going into the kingdom of God, while other people are just carnally minded and naturally minded and just sitting around not paying any attention to anything or not thinking of anything concerning God or the spiritual things. Other people are being translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. That is, they're being raptured up out of this world and being raptured into a great kingdom that you can't see. You know, that's the calamity of mankind, is he lives by sight. He has to see everything. You can't tell him anything because he has to see it. He wants to see it like scientists. They say, if you can show it to me, I'll define it. I'll put it under a microscope. But you can't define God under a microscope. You've got to believe your way into a kingdom of God. You've got to believe your way in. It's a spiritual translation into an eternal kingdom and into an eternal life that we'll have from now on, if we can just get into it. That's why the church world can't get in. Now, the church world as a whole will never get in. The preachers as a whole will never get in because their hearts are not right with God and they're looking for some outward manifestation, some outward thing that's going to take place that's going to put them in the kingdom of God, and that will never be. Jesus, when he was talking to the Jews, remember he told the Jews said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? And Jesus said, it's not given to you to know that time. He said, it's not given to you to know that time. Now, they had reference to the restoration of the kingdom of David, which was in the Canaan land, which was to come in the millennium. But Jesus, being naturally Jesus in the body, was talking to a natural Jew about a natural kingdom. And they were asking about the restoration of a natural kingdom. But the spiritual God on the inside of this natural Jesus was talking to a spiritual Jew about a spiritual kingdom that you could not see with natural eyes. Everything in the natural is only a type and a shadow of the things of God. Like you've heard me say so many times, there was a natural body of people following a natural William Branham. But at the same time, there was a spiritual body of people that was following God or the revelation within Brother Branham. At the same time, the people that was following the natural Brother Branham hit a hard place. And they were scattered about. They still haven't gotten back together yet. All divided up over doctrines and issues that they don't understand. Same way with Jesus. The Jews that believed in the natural Jesus hit a hard place. And they were scattered throughout the earth. They were dispersed like the dead. They went away from God. And they were considered to God as the dead. And when they're gathered back, Paul said they will be considered as the resurrection. As long as the Jews is scattered from God, then Jesus said, God reckons the people to be dead. God reckons you to be dead. But the day that he gathers the Jews back together in their homeland and returns back to them, Paul said, then those that are dead and buried in the earth will come forth in a resurrection, in a new body. We sing the song, I'll have a new body, I'll have a new life. So they'll come forth in a resurrection right out of the grave. And we're living right close to that time right now. The Jews are returning to their homeland. They're all going back. The song says Israel's awakening. The nations are breaking. They're going back over into the Holy Land because it is time for the resurrection of the dead. Jesus said the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Somebody say, Brother Pike, what good is the kingdom of God to me? What good is the kingdom of God going to do me? It's not going to do you any good because you're carnal. You're carnal. And the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. But I'm speaking to you that are of a spiritual mind. Paul said, speaking unto you as spirituals. Those that think about heaven, that think about God, that think about spiritual things. These things are important to you. These things are enlightening to you. What good would it do for somebody to tell me what the president ought to know? Or to tell me what Congress ought to know? It wouldn't do me any good because I'm not the president, neither am I Congress. But if I was the president tonight, and I had the responsibility of the whole world resting on my shoulders, and I had to make decisions that would indict everybody, that could throw the whole earth into a turmoil, or that could cause your sons and daughters to go out on a battlefield and be killed, my friend, then it would be important to me that I know what the president needs to know. Now, I'm a son of God. Some of you are sons and daughters of God. If you are, then it's important for you to know what God is planning to do and what the move of God is in the earth. Because the Bible said that the whole earth is groaning. The whole earth is in travail. The whole earth is begging and pleading and waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God, that they can correct the disorder, that they can do away with wars and do away with tornadoes and do away with murder and lust and concupiscence and all the evils of the world. To eradicate from the earth the evil, conniving money hogs, the way with them, and bring decency and order into the earth. The earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They are not waiting for the sons of God because already we're the sons of God. But they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know what it's going to take to bring the manifestation of the sons of God? Is when they are endowed with the mind of God. When God gives them his mind, then they're going to be manifested and take over the world. I've said this a lot of times in trying to exhort, you know, or talk to you about the things of God. And I want you to understand it tonight, that we are sons of God, that it is important for us to have the mind of God, that we're living in the Laodicean age when everybody wants their rights. The word meaning people's rights. We're living in that time and we're living in that age. Right now we're living in it. And every race and every nation, as you've heard me say so many times, has risen up expecting to take over the world. The Negro, the Japanese, the German, America. Everybody expecting to take over the earth and rule and dominate the earth. Communists expecting to do it. Catholics expecting it to do it. The Protestant church expecting to do it. But my friend, I want to tell you again, there's only one body of people that will take over the earth. It's not a maybe. It's not a hope so. It's not if they can get up the right kind of warfare. It's not if they can get the right kind of education or if they can get the right kind of bombs or the right kind of science. That's not it. They are preordained of God to take over the world. And they're going to do it. There's nothing nobody can do about it. It's not maybe they'll do it, but they will do it. God has preordained that the sons of God and the saints of God take over the world. The Bible said Satan shall wear out the saints of God, but the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever. Hallelujah. They're going to do it. And ain't nothing can stop it. I want to be on the winning side. It's important to me tonight to know the mind of God. It's important to me to do the will of God. When we started on this trip, some of them began to tell me, said, Brother Pike, I feel uneasy about you. And numbers of you have felt uneasy. And I know that that was God dealing with you. But I wanted you to know that I wasn't caring about that. I wouldn't listen to that. Because Paul, when he started to leave, he told them when they began to say those things to him, he said, I'm not only ready to be offered unto God to go out there to suffer, but I am ready to die for Christ. That's the place that we need to come to, is to be ready to die for Christ. If anybody goes to discourage your faith, even if it's something from God, they said the Holy Ghost witnesses in every place that bonds and afflictions await thee, Paul. But he just kept right on going anyway. And it doesn't matter. When God wants you to do something, you've got to do it. You can't let nothing rest on your mind. You've got to go carry out whatever God has got for you to do. And did you know, consequently, even though the Holy Ghost said, Paul, bonds and afflictions await thee, yet you study the Scripture, and Paul escaped every bit of it by the power of God. Now, he suffered. Bonds and afflictions, they hit him. But if you'll check up, he come out of every bit of it and went on for God and had a testimony for a number of years, right on for Christ Jesus. He went on. Now, we need to know God's will. We are children of God. We don't need to just come to church because we got a building. We don't need to just come to church because we're going to give out some literature, or because we got a radio program, or because we want to hear somebody preach. We don't need to have a preacher just get up here and preach to us. That's not what we're coming to church for. We're coming to church to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. That's why we're here. If you're coming to church just because this is your home church, you're wasting your time. If you're coming to church just because you like to come to church, or it makes you feel good, or it does something for your conscience, you're wasting your time. My friend, we've got to grow in God's grace. And there ain't no way to grow in God's grace except we grow in God's knowledge. To grow up into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. If you're coming to church just for prosperity, so God will favor you, so God will keep you healthy in this world, and God will give you something to eat, and God will give you the fine things of life, you are wasting your time. You need to come to church because you are sons and daughters of God, and we are about our Father's business, and we are trying to establish the kingdom of God in this earth, and we're trying our best to overthrow the kingdom of Satan by the power of God and by every means that God will place within our hands to do. The kingdom of God has suffered violence in this world. It has come down in this world. And the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom's been preached. And men are pressing their way into it. They're pressing. There's evil powers pressing against them. And Satan is pressing against their mind. And he's trying to trample down the mind of humanity. But by the strength of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're pressing against him. And we're pressing our way into the mind of God. And into the kingdom of God, and into the revelation, the spiritual things of God. We're pressing our way into it. Pressing against it every day. We refuse to let the body have its way. Refuse to fail to keep the body under subjection. We've got to bring it into subjection. We've got to kill it out. We're here for a purpose. The kingdom of God is in the earth, and it's suffering violence at the hand of men. And that evil violence is taking it by force and coming against it and hindering it. Now, every time God wants to do something, Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Every time the kingdom of God wants to do something good, then comes evil. Evil comes along and oppresses. Like this evening, I believe it was, or sometime today, me and Betty, we started to turn a good deed towards somebody. We was riding down the road and in the midst of a lot of traffic. I'd wanting to go another way, but I failed to go that way. I just wouldn't let myself go the other way. I went against the body and the feelings of the body, and I went down that road. And a little while I looked, and over here was a little sign said 10, last day message. So I knew automatically that me and Brother Terrell's followers, because that's what they believe in. And we turned off and went down there and got down there, and there's a little old tent, a little old. I tell you what, you ought to be so glad that God's blessed you. If you could have been there and seen what those people was trying to work with for Christ, and still going on with a family of how many? 10, Betty, 12, 8 children. And trying to go for God and do something for God down there. And way back off of the road in a little narrow place with a little old tent that it's hard to describe. Sitting back there with a truck and a little trailer that you just have to see it, that's all. And right here in a graveyard. And the Lord led us down there and down around to the little old place. And we got down there, and the Lord dealt with our hearts to do a little something for them. And that person was more thankful for what little we tried to do for them, for the little bit, than a lot of people is when you just give them tons of it. Grateful. I mean exceedingly abundantly grateful. To the extent they just yelled out to God, they're in our presence and the presence of whoever was around, crying out to God, trying to do good, and evil is present. Evil is present. What little they were trying to do, Satan was oppressing them on every hand, coming in against them, trying to overthrow them. But the Bible said that men pressed their way into it. Look. If you don't have a nature to press in, you'll never make it. If you don't have a nature to push in past your feelings and swear to your own hurt and get past your own thoughts, if you don't have a nature, and only one nature can do that, that's the God nature. If you've never been born again, then you're not partakers of the divine nature of Christ, and your nature will not resist your flesh. Your nature will not resist your flesh. Your nature will always give in to your flesh. It'll always do it because it was made to do that. But the nature of God was made to overcome the flesh and to resist the feelings of the flesh and resist the desires and thoughts of the flesh, that it might bring the flesh into subjection and subdue the flesh to the pleasures of God until it kills out every desire. Amen. If you've never been born again, you don't have that nature. If you don't have that nature, then you can't resist the flesh. That's why the Bible said a child is known by his doings. You're known by what you do. Just exactly what you do, that's what you are. And a person that's never been born again, it's not hard to tell what they are. Because the tree bears fruit according to its nature. And if they're not born of God, then they're bound to be born of Adam. And if they're born of the flesh, then they're going to do the things of the flesh. They're going to have a desire for the things of the flesh. It's just going to be in them to want to do what the flesh wants to do. It's just going to be a desire. And there's nothing they can do about it. I mean absolutely nothing they can do about it. When somebody crosses them up just a little bit, cuts across the grain, they're going to fly off the handle. They're going to say words back to them. They're going to get temperamental. They're going to curse a little bit, snore a little bit, you know, when they get upset. because they're not born again. But a person is born again, has a nature like Jesus, and swears to their own hurt. They swallow down their feelings. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I do that, but I don't want to. That proves you're not born again, and really you never done it. See, because if the nature of Christ, it does want to. The Bible said that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, when serving God becomes a delight to us, and when we delight ourselves in the things of God, and we delight ourselves in serving God, you need to be born again. The kingdom of God, where is it at? It's here. It's here. It's here.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is here. Somebody said, where? It's here. It's here. The kingdom of God is here. Somebody said, if I could just get to it, you can. But you've got to be born again. Nicodemus, he said, you've got to be born again or you'll never see it. You've got to see it with the eyes of your understanding. It's a message. It's a revelation. It's a mind. It's a divine spirit that transforms and translates and transfigures you into a new realm, a new dimension, a new world. It's the mind of God. Somebody say, what is the mind of God, Brother Pike? The mind of God is the thing that spoke the stars into existence. That's what the mind of God is. Solomon said, keep searching and you'll find the mind of God, the knowledge of God. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, the mind of God. That's what made the stars. That's what made the moon, the sun. You know, scientists, they've defined this little planet we call Earth here, and they really think they've done something. You know, their little finite minds, they've wrestled and finally decided that a bug is a bug. They've decided that, and an acorn is an acorn. They've decided it. And they've twisted around and worked around and defined this little world that we're living in. And they feel like they're great big masters. But God never just created this little world. But as far as we know, there is billions of worlds. And this little world that we live in is one of the smallest ones of them. Billions of them out yonder. And God made them all in 6 days and rested on the seventh, the Bible said. Science hasn't even got started yet. And we comprehend Germany, Russia. We comprehend the United States and the big ocean. If we can get that in our mind, we've done pretty good. But I want you to know tonight, there is a kingdom of God. Man is nothing but a little speck in the universe. There is a God. There is an ever-expanding, a God from everlasting to everlasting. There is a God, an eternal spirit, a self-existing one that is responsible for every phase of life, every bit of the creation of life. He is responsible for it. And he is giving you and I the opportunity to enter into the kingdom. There is a door that's open in heaven. Peter opened the door in heaven. And John caught up in the Spirit a little bit later over on the Isle of Patmos. He saw that door. He said, behold, there is a door that is open in heaven. And John just went right up as a symbol of the church, just moved right up in through the door. And when he got up in through the door, then his eyes was open, and he was in heaven, and then he began to see the things that was going on in heaven. That's what Brother Taylor read to you tonight. John was up here. John had gone through the door, and he began to see deity sitting upon it, and these beasts that was around the throne. And he began to hear them say, holy, 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 holy. Day and night, we come to church and sometimes we're so backslidden and so cold we don't even as much as say amen through a whole service. That's right. But the Bible said to enter into his courts with thanksgiving, his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Come into it. To praise God. God inhabits the praise of his people. Where's our praise? Where's our enthusiasm in God? And the Bible said that these beasts, they didn't just say amen and glory to God and hallelujah. But the Bible said without ceasing. They never stop. Think about that throughout eternity. Holy, 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 holy. Lord God Almighty, just and true. Holy, 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 holy. Lord God Almighty, just and true. Holy, 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 holy. Never stopping. That's going to make us look pretty bad. When we can't even get a good amen. Can't get even a good praise. That's why Brother Taylor ready here when John was in the presence of these things. He looked and these seals was open. Now we brought it out the other night. These seals were open. This door was open in heaven. The King of God was present. John pressed his way into it. And then when he got into it, the mysteries was revealed to him. The seals began to be open. It's when you press into the kingdom of God. It's when you go through the door of the Word, Christ Jesus. He said, my words, they are spirit. They are spirit. It's a filter that we pass through, getting to God. And it's when we're able to enter into the Word. Into the Word. God is a spirit. And when my spirit is able to enter into God's spirit, and God's spirit is able to enter into my spirit, and when we become interwoven as one on the inside, he said, I'll come in and sup with you if you open the door. When my thought pattern becomes his thought pattern, my spirit, Jesus said, my words, they're God. In the beginning was God, the Word Spirit. And this is the door. This is the entrance. If you can take your spirit, your thought pattern, your words, and if you can apply your thoughts against his thoughts and his thought against your thought and surrender your spirit to his Word Spirit, then your spirit will begin to emerge into an eternal God mind that cannot perish. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word will never pass away. There is no place of safety except in the Word. Now you got to be spiritual to understand what I'm saying. Jesus said, lest you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And they said, this is a hard saying. Said, we can't understand it. The man sounds like a cannibal. And they left him. But Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. They can be interpreted as demeaning something. And you've got to understand what we're saying tonight. But my friend, you've got to be spiritual. People who are naturally minded are not born again. I see people coming to church all the time, and they're supposed to be Christians. They come to church with a regularity, but they've never been born again. They've never been born again. All they know to do is to go to church. That isn't going to save you. Going to church isn't going to save you. You've got to be translated into the kingdom of God by new birth. You've got to press your way into the kingdom of God. You've got to get in the Word. Jesus said, if my words abide in you, and you abide in my Word, you can ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. I told a man that on this trip. And he said, what did you say? He was in the back of the car. Young hippie on the road. I picked him up and started talking with him. And he listened to me talking. He didn't comment too much. And then when I got down to a certain part of the scripture, I said, the Bible said, if you abide in my word and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will. I'll do it. And he said, what did you say? And I repeated it. And he wanted me to tell him over. He said, what did you say? And he wanted me to explain to him, that, do you really mean that? That God will do whatever I ask him to do? If I abide in his word and his word abide in me? I said, that's what it says. And you know, it really got a hold of him. It really shook him up. He was from Colorado and he was going out to New Mexico. And it really shook him up. But let me tell you something tonight, Christian friend. I just come here just to talk with you just a little bit tonight because I'm tired. But let me tell you something. Coming to church is no good. You're wasting your time. I want you to understand that. You are wasting your time to come to church and pretend to have Christianity. You are wasting your time to come to church and just be a church member or to call yourself a Christian. That's no good. But when you get into the mind of God, and you get hungry for the mind of God, and you get hungry for the thoughts of God, and the Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after the righteousness of Christ shall be filled. And when you get so hungry, you just want to talk about God, think about God. You just want to feed off of God all the time. And you want the knowledge of God. You can't rest day or night. The Bible said the man of God meditates in the laws of God day and night. And when you get to where you just got to meditate in the mind of God all the time, then you're getting somewhere with God. Then you're getting somewhere with God. Until you come to that place, you're not going to do any good. You're not going to do any good. The kingdom of God is present tonight. It's here. It's here. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? It's here. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, if it's here, praise God. But that's not good enough for you. It's here. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? God has brought it here through the death and sufferings of Jesus Christ. But what are you going to do about it? Now, when I say that, I know what some of you are going to do. You're going to continue on just like you are. You're never going to be spiritual. You're never going to get into the mind of Christ. I know that. But you that are spiritually minded, what are you going to do about it? You who are sons of God, are you going to be up and about your Father's business? Are you going to be concerned about God and the mind of God and the knowledge of God and the things of God and about winning souls to God and establishing God's kingdom and spreading God's kingdom? You sons of God, are you going to do it? Yes, yeah, said Brother Pike, there is no sons of God here, but there is. The world isn't waiting for the sons of God. They're already here. That's something you need to get your eyes open to. Somebody said, now, if we had Brother Branham in our midst, if we had Brother Paul in our midst, if we just had Elijah the prophet in our midst, but my friend, there's something greater than that. There's something greater than that. When the Bible said that the sons of God are here, the sons of God are already here. Not somebody that God is going to change into a son of God if he does good. If he gets real good and he does real good and he doesn't make any mistakes and if he pleases God, not somebody he's going to change into a son of God. That wasn't what he said at all. There is already sons of God. They're already eternal sons of God. Already sons of God. That don't register just right. I know it don't. If I said to you tonight, I'd say, Nixon is over in Washington tonight, but his son is here with us tonight. Did you know what? That would really draw a response. But I tell you that the sons of God are here. They are here. Somebody said, well, glory to God. That means we're all sons of God. No, it doesn't either. No, I didn't say we're all sons of God. I said the sons of God are here. They are here. The sons of God are here. That's something, isn't it? A son of God. You know what he is? How many know what a son of God is? He is a God. He is a God. So many times we've said that cats beget cats and dogs beget dogs. Men beget children. Men. God beget gods. Jesus said, you are gods. If you are sons of God, you are gods. You know what a God is? Somebody can't die. Can't die. Sons of God. Gods in the earth. The world is waiting for these to be manifested. Not for them to come, but for them to mature in the mind and be manifested. There'd be a lot that I'd like to say on that. But for them to mature in the mind and be manifested, that they might correct the disorders of the world. And they will do it. And they will set up an everlasting government. They will do it. It won't be a little church entity and a little group of getting together like this. That won't be what it is. No. I said, well, if we was dealing with Washington and politics and dealing with the world and all of the governments of the world, it would be important. My friend, that's exactly what I'm dealing with tonight. I'm dealing with an eternal government, a government where Nixon will be nothing, where every leader you've ever had in the world will be nothing, but the government that will establish something far better than the White House. The White House won't be nothing, and the government will be out the earth. Then the people will have to abide by it. The Bible said it'll be a rod of iron, God's word. And the Bible said, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. With constraint they will bow. And he said that he would take a sword, and the sons of God that followed him would take swords, and everybody that would resist, that he would spill their blood on the earth. He would spill their blood, everyone. Not making believe, not a type and shadow, not an allegory. I'm talking about your real blood, a real sword run through your heart, and your real blood poured out on the ground. And said then he would call the buzzards to eat you. That's the Bible. So a lot of times we get misput. We say that God is love and God is good, which is true. But because of these things, we get misput, and we get the idea that God is love, and if we don't want to do right, we can. If we don't want to do right, we don't have to. But my friend, God is the God of judgment, and the Bible said he'll save his people by judgment, and God is angry with the wicked every day, and God was angry from the time that Adam sinned in the garden. He prepared hell in the time of that anger to put those in that caused him the trouble. He has never changed it. The Bible said since that time he has been angry and is angry with the wicked every day. Amen. There's just a span of grace over the church world so that he can't destroy the church until they mature and all the rest will be utterly destroyed. He is angry every day. He's never changed from man. He can't pluck up the tares without getting the wheat. He's just letting them grow to maturity to cut them all down and divide. Take one and put it in hell and one and put it in heaven. That's right. He is angry every day. I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. So see, he hasn't changed. Not at all. Not at all. He hasn't changed. So let's be thankful for his grace and let's get into the kingdom of God before these sons of God begin to walk the earth, because they're going to do it before they begin to walk the earth. All right, let's everybody stand together. Let's sing the little chorus of Amazing Grace. And if you're here tonight, if there's any doubt in your heart and mind as to your being a part of the kingdom of God, now's the time to make it right. Now's the time to get in, really get in and stay in. Don't get in and out, but get in and stay in. If you've never been born again, now's the time. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious this together around the altar for a few minutes tonight. We've been gone for a week or two now. And if we can make a new dedication to God, to ask God to do something special for us, to really, really get serious with God and ask God to do something for us and ask God to help us. The day is fast drawing to close. And Brother Branham was right. We've got two or three more days until April. And this month could be the ending of all things according to his predictions. This month, two or three days away. But there's one thing for sure. If he isn't right, the end is coming. Noah warned that the end of the world was coming. And they laughed at him and they mocked him. But it came just as he said. They said, well, it's never happened before, Noah. But it happened. We've never seen anything like that before, Noah, but it came to pass. What he said was true. It's going to happen. I want you to lift your hands up with me, and I want you to close your eyes tonight. And I want you to sing the little chorus with us as we ask God to help us and examine ourselves. The Bible said to examine yourselves and see if you're in the faith, lest ye be reprobates. You might think that you're Christian, but Paul said, prove yourself, lest ye be reprobate. Let's just praise God, and let's examine ourselves tonight. And let's say, Lord, how long? How long? What have I been doing? God, what have I been doing? What's the matter with me, Lord? Help me, Lord, to snap out of it. Help me, God, to realize the greatest treasure is my soul. And if I lose it, I've lost everything. If I gain my soul, I've gained riches, honor, glory, happiness, peace, joy eternally. Praise God, 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 praise God. Standing here, your head's bowed and your eyes closed, and lifting up my hands to remind me of something. The vision I had before I left, or in the vision, this lady came and said, you are William Branham. I didn't understand that. I still don't. But on this trip, I really had a vision. That's hard to understand. On this trip, standing with our hands up tonight reminds me of it. But I was in the vision with my hands stretched up like this. And I was crying out to God in the heavens. And suddenly, something began to happen. And in the vision, I was Elijah the prophet, standing there with my hands up to heaven and calling on God. And I looked, and when I looked, it was like horses with men standing on them come out of the heavens, rode out of the heavens. I couldn't tell just exactly how many, but it looked like it was from about 5 to 7 horses that came out, big, huge, muscular horses. Strong, sturdy horses, and men that sit upon the horses, sturdy men, strong, 30 well-proportioned men that sat there on the horses as it broke open and came out this way. And it looked like that it was like a drought or something was setting in. And all of a sudden, it was like people discovered what was happening. And they began to run to try to get there just as hard as they could at everything from the way the vision was shown. That as quick as they could, that they had to get there. Like something was taking place that was a matter of life and death. And you know, I believe that something is taking place that is a matter of life and death. I believe that with all my heart. I know that we're carnal-minded. And I know we think as men. And the Bible said we walk as men. But in spite of all of that, though Jesus was a man, yet he was God from heaven. Though Ezekiel was a man, he was one of the greatest prophets that the earth has ever known. And though Abraham was a man that eat, drank, walked, slept, married, had children just like you, but the Bible said he was a great prince in the earth, and he was the father of the faithful, considered to be perhaps the most faithful man that ever lived on the earth. Just a man, Brother Jim. Noah was a man. A man. And then when you come down to Elijah, the Bible said Elias was a man of like passion, is same as you, but he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. I do believe that the spirit of Elijah is on the church. I believe that. I really believe it. And I believe that something is taking place. I believe that something is taking place. And I believe that that fiery chariot of God is getting ready to come down. I really believe that. Something happened out in Del Rio that I'd like to relate to you sometimes. I want us to sing a little chorus before we dismiss tonight. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me. Son of man coming. And who knows? He's like a man, Jesus said, that's gone into a far country. Said unto every one of his servants, I give you something to do. watch, for someday I'll return. And Jesus said, in the day that he comes, blessed is the servant. But he so finds doing what he appointed him to do, said, I'll make him ruler over all that I have. Said, but if that wicked servant should say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and begins to eat and drink with the drunken, and to be drunk all the cares of the life, said, the God of that servant shall come in a time when he isn't expecting him, and shall appoint him his part with the hypocrite, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Can we sing it one more time before we dismiss? Swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me. Tonight.